Tonight, once again, welcome. I'm glad you were able to be here tonight, and we want to welcome you watching live stream as well. I appreciate John and Brother Jim Gray getting that working for you tonight. I'd be very upset if you're at home and you can't tune in because of some glitch here. So the Lord's good, and I appreciate that. I asked John, I said, what did y'all do back there? He said he took the back of the computer off and sped in it and hit it three times, and it started working. So I'm grateful that that happened. Okay. I tell a story. Some of you have heard it recently about the man of God named Billy Bray. Billy Bray was said to be one that was just filled with the Holy Spirit when he got saved, and his right foot would hit the ground, and he'd say amen, and his left foot would hit the ground, and he'd say praise the Lord. And I told the story about how he was out in his potato patch one day, and he was digging up his potatoes, and they were the puniest little potatoes he'd ever seen. And the devil began to talk to him and say, look at your potatoes. Ha, what terrible puny, what kind of God do you have to give you potatoes like that? And Billy Bray said that he began to feel bad about himself, and he began to kind of grieve about some things. And he got to thinking about the goodness of God. And he said, wait a minute, devil. He said, no greater servant did you have that ever served you than it was Billy Bray when I was lost. And he said, and these are small potatoes, but when I served you, I didn't have any taters at all. And I think it's easy for us to get down in the mouth and to get discouraged and to question. I think some can even question the concern and the love of God. I never question that. Oh, he loves us all the time. He's concerned for us all the time. And I was thinking, this passage was on my heart yesterday as I was reading, and I love this passage. And I was telling Debbie, I guess I was probably no older. I couldn't have been older than 17 when God gave me a real spiritual awakening about this passage. And let me read it to you. Then I want to talk to you about my first experience with it. John chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scattereth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. I was laying in bed one night. I couldn't have been older than 17. And God had really dealt with my heart about preaching. I had just gotten the assurance of my salvation, and I had just surrendered to preached the gospel, but no one knew about it. Just God and I were the only ones that knew about it. And I didn't want to tell people, and I knew some people would not believe it, and I knew I couldn't do it. But I was reading this passage, and notice in this verse 10, there's the thief. The thief is the devil. And I got to thinking about people in my life that I had seen the thief make mincemeat out of. He comes to steal. He steals the joy of life. He steals the blessings of life. He steals the goodness of life. He comes to kill. He kills your future. He kills your vision. He kills what wonderful experiences you could have. He destroys. When he's done, you're absolutely shredded. You're nothing more than the prodigal standing in the pig pen. And that night, as I read this passage, I began thinking of cousins and uncles and family members and associates that I knew that had gone the way of Cain, that had decided to scratch the lust that had been conceived that brought forth sin. And I have been a witness to sin that brought forth death in their life. And at 17, I read this. And the second part says, I am come. Now, he's not just I am come. He is the I am. And he says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And I thought of some people that were casual acquaintances of mine that were in ministry. I was not in ministry. I was just a nobody. But I saw the life they had. It was an abundant life. I saw it in their marriage. I saw it in the sweetness of their family. I saw the difference that it was. And I thought to myself, life doesn't have to be this over here. Life doesn't have to be a bunch of illegitimate bastard children from Mississippi to Washington State. Life doesn't have to be in jail and or in prison. Life doesn't have to be addicted to alcohol or to drugs, sitting in the corner huffing a brown bag full of model glue. I've experienced that. I've seen it. It's a crying shame that people who've grown up in Christian homes and churches like this have crossed the tracks to live that kind of life. But God saved me out of that kind of life. Those who are forsaking their rearing and their faith that's been handed down to them. Those who have become Esau and have despised the blessings of God and the birthright. They're going to wake up and they're going to find what the thief does to you. I've seen some terrible things. I could write volumes about it, but not only have I seen it in ministry, I experienced it all my life, seeing it. And I was thinking, there's got to be more to life than that. And that night, I chose, I'm going to walk with the I am. I'm going to take the good shepherd. I don't think I'm going to miss anything. I don't think there's anything good that I'm going to lose by going with the good shepherd. I don't think there's going to be any fun I'm going to miss out on. And I looked back over it, and I'm an older man now. I'm 65, and I've not missed a thing. I've got a marriage that's stronger than ever, but it's because I decided to go the way of the I am. There could have been many women in my life, as it can be with anybody. Don't be flattered that you could have many women. Any of us can have many women. Few of us can have one woman and satisfy her and be satisfied by her and have a Christian home and Christian family. That's God that does that. That's special. It's unheard of in this world today. But the Good Shepherd delivers that. He tells us that there's hirelings. I don't want to be a hireling. I want to be a shepherd. I want you to know we're coming up on 33 years at this church, and I've loved every minute of it. There's been high days and low days. There have been hard days and easier days. There have been sour days and sweet days, and it's just the way it is in life, and that's true if I was the pastor of a church or if I was the president of BMI. It's just true, but I wouldn't trade or change a thing. He says in verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. He knows everything about me. He knows what I need. And when he says yes, it's because it's what I need. And when he says no, it's because that's what I need. He says he knows his sheep and am known of mine. And I know him. And in the words of the Apostle Paul, that I might know him, to know him more. Now, turn back, if you would, to Ezekiel 34. And let me just share with you. Don't let the points scare you, but I got 11 points on why he's called the Good Shepherd. Look at Ezekiel 34. Find your way back there. And let me say, first of all, he's the Good Shepherd because he searches and seeks for his sheep. In verse 11 of Ezekiel 34 says, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out." We didn't find God. God came seeking us. We were that one. Although the 99 were in the fold, we were that one that were out. We were that one out on the jagged edge. We were the one that were out there amongst the hissing serpents. We were the one out there where the wolves could get to us. And we had no defense. We had no type of protection. We had no type of guard about us. But the loving Good Shepherd came searching and seeking us. He found us. He picked us up and he cradled us in his arm. He wrapped us up. He healed our wounds and he brought us back to the fold. Amen. That's why he's the Good Shepherd. His sheep know his voice. In John 10:27, he says, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." Someone says that sheep never butt. It's always the rams. Well, I'd serve God, but I'd be in church, but I'd tithe, but I'd sow in, but that's what rams do. Sheep don't do that. Sheep just follow. I believe he's a good shepherd because he searches and he seeks. Verse 11. But notice in verse 12, he's the good shepherd because he delivers his sheep. In verse 12, the Bible says, "As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they shall be scattered in the cloudy and dark day." He delivers us. We are in the hand of a mighty foe. In sin was I conceived. There's no deliverance in and of myself. I can't join any church, not this puny church or any other puny church that think it can take away my sins. I can't be baptized numerous times that it might eradicate my sin. I can't do numerous works or good deeds that would eradicate one sin, one lie that I've told. I need a deliverer. I need a Messiah. I need a Savior. I need a shepherd. And his name is Jesus. And he has the power that overcomes the enemy of the hissing serpent in the garden, the enemy of the roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. But he comes, the good shepherd does. He searches, he seeks, and he delivers. Notice verse 13, he's the good shepherd because he brings his sheep out. He says in verse 13, "And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country." You see, he separates his sheep from the others. I'm a separatist. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." I'm a separatist. And the shepherd, he brought me out. I was in a terrible bunch. I was one of the worst of the bunch. But the Lord, the good shepherd, came seeking. The good shepherd came searching. The good shepherd came and delivered me. And then he brought me out. He has sanctified me. He has set me apart to work for his kingdom. What a glorious thing that is. He's the good shepherd, fourthly, because he feeds the sheep. I get excited about eating, don't you? I do. Oh, some of you have been so kind to us, and you've brought us such delicious food, and you've just called us, and you've tried to bring us stuff, and, And, you know, Debbie's, she's made good meals for us, but you've brought us such wonderful food. I think I had Thanksgiving dinner this week. I tell you, it was so good. I like to eat. Don't you? Don't you like to eat? If you don't like to eat, something's wrong with you. You're not right. God bless, you know, God bless you. Why don't you, you know, eat a little bit? You know, my mother, she always believed that when you're sad, here, eat this. My mother believed that when you're glad, here, eat this. You know, and it didn't matter what it was. I remember our Rachel had shingles her last junior year of camp. And Dean and I drove to Memphis, and I dropped her off at my mother's house, and she was crying, and I hugged her goodbye, and I said, you can't go to camp this year, but you'll start teen camp next week. And I took her to Olive Garden. We had lunch there, and I loved on her, and I said, we'll be back. We took the juniors and teens to camp as we normally did without her, and Debbie would call her. I would call her. We'd check on her, and she'd get sad, and she'd start crying. My mother would just start feeding her. And we came back in a week, and she's like the Michelin woman when we got back, you know. We dropped off a little skinny little girl, and we picked her up. She's like, hey, 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 you know. And bless her heart. But my mother's like, you know, if you're sad, let me feed you. And if you're glad, let me feed you food. But let me tell you something. There's nothing like getting with the good shepherd and feasting. He feeds us from this book. This is God's pantry, and he gives us solid meals, just what we need. Whatever ails us, whatever hurts us, whatever is has disillusioned us, a season here with him, a season in the word, a season in prayer, and he feeds us. He says in verse 14, I would feed them in the good pasture. You know, I think of a lady we had in our church some years ago, and she taught me a few things. And some of you would remember her. She had this enormous prize bull named Rivers. And she didn't put him out in just any pasture. They had special pasture, good pasture for Rivers. And that they just didn't put him out in pasture. They had a stall in Malachi 4 speaks about how we are his precious jewels and that he puts us in a special stall. And God, he's careful about the feet. He doesn't give us slop. He doesn't give us stuff that's not going to nourish us and not going to change us and not going to strengthen us. He feeds his sheep in the good shepherd. He gives us the grass upon the high mountains of Israel. Shall their fold be. He said, there shall they lie in good fold and in the fat pasture. Don't you like that? I like a little bit of fat on my meat. I know some of you have got a problem with that, but that's where the flavor comes from. You get a ribeye, you have that tip of it. Don't cut that tip off. That's good stuff there for you. Some of you skinny minis, God bless your heart, you got to jump around the shower to get wet. You're so skinny, if you turned sideways and stuck your tongue out, you look like a zipper. I mean, you're so skinny, if you get a runner in your hose, your leg falls out. I'm glad to be in church tonight, aren't you? And I'm just saying that he feeds us. He gives us the good stuff. I can't talk about being fed without going to Psalm 23. Listen, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He doesn't leave us hungry. He doesn't leave us in need. He maketh me to lie down. There are green pastures, the Bible says. He leadeth me beside. There's still waters. There's a serenity, a peace. That's what the picture out here in the foyer over the couch represents. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest, here it is again, a table. You think that's a bare table? I think that table's full. Some of those old country women could cut. And they didn't have a bunch of pots and pans that matched. They had 157 pans on the table, 157 bowls, and different something in it, and everything was hot at the same time. They knew how to put it on the table. And I want you to know, listen to me, God knows how to prepare a table for us. In the presence of mine enemies, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's a good shepherd, perhaps because he searches and he seeks. He's a good shepherd because he delivers. He's a good shepherd because he brings us out. He sets us apart. He's a good shepherd because he feeds us in good pastures. Then he's a good shepherd, notice in verse 15, because he rests us, his sheep. Verse 15 says, I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. He gives sweet rest to the sheep. There's things in our lives that rattle our cage. There's things that we're worried. I have a grandson at Vanderbilt again. I have two daughters and two grandsons that flown to Vanderbilt in helicopters. We have fallen on our face before God and we've cried out to God. And although the situation is the same and all those circumstances haven't changed, there's a peace and a rest that comes knowing that we've dealt with this and we've put it in the hand of God and it's safe in His hand. You see, I will cause them to lie down. And there's been many times the saints of God have been rattled and have been bothered and have been concerned and are fretting that they can slide out from between the covers and get on their knees on the side of that bed and cry out to the good shepherd and have a meeting with him and get back within those covers and have peace and rest and sleep. Let me suggest he's a good shepherd in verse 16 because he binds up the broken. He says in verse 16, I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away. I will build up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. He tells us he's going to bind up that which is broken. I think of Brother Tommy Hosey, who could fix anything. And I remember one night he had was underneath an old truck that I had and it needed something. He got underneath there for about 30 minutes and got it fixed. And our youngest son, John, was underneath there with him, just a little pencil boy, small. And he got out. The biggest thing on him was his cowboy boots. And he got out and he looked at Brother Hosey and said, Brother Hosey, I guess you can fix everything. And Brother Hosey, without meeting a beat, he says, John, I can fix everything but a broken heart. And boy, that's true. But we know somebody who can fix the broken heart. It's the good shepherd. He binds up that which was broken. He binds us up. It's the understanding of taking that and setting it and healing it and then wrapping it and binding it until it can be cut off and be strong again. Let me say that he's the good shepherd in verse 16 because he strengthens his sheep. In verse 16, the Bible says, I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and I will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. We oftentimes think that we are strong in and of ourselves, but we're not. We're flawed. We're failed. We're weak. We're anemic. And any of this arm the flesh always fails us. It's the might of the Spirit. It's we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. And here we see that the good shepherd is our strength. He says, and will strengthen them which are sick. I think of people who have been saved and I see the strength in them. I see some of you who have suffered greatly. Great loss, great sorrow, great disappointment, almost your life or the life of someone you love very much, and you haven't allowed it to make you bitter but God has used it in your life to strengthen you. And you're a testimony of God's mercy and grace and his love. And you're a strength to the brethren. Let me say, eighthly, he's the good shepherd because he will judge their cause. Notice verses 17 through 22. He says, and as for you, O my flock, that's the key word here, O my flock. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but ye must tread down with your feet the residue of the pastures. He says in verse 18, and have drunk the deep waters, but ye must foul the residue with your feet. He says in verse 19, and as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. Therefore thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge before the fat cattle and before the lean cattle, before ye have thrust with side and with shoulder, and push all the diseased with your horns till ye have scattered them abroad. Verse 22, therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. What he's saying here in this, that when although we've been tempted, and although we've been persecuted, and although we might have been annoyed, he is the judge that will set things straight one day. He is coming one day. He's going to be the judge. He says, and as for you, O my flock, in verse 19, he says, and as for my flock, they eat and they drink. He says in verse 20, behold, I, even I, will judge. He says in verse 22, therefore will I save my flock, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. He is the one who's keeping score, and he will make things right. Number 9, let me say that he's the good shepherd because he watches over his sheep. Notice verse 23, and I will set up one shepherd over them. He shall feed them, even my servant David. And he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land. And I think that's the Democratic Party. I don't know, maybe not. And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. You see, he's watching over us. I want you to know, you may often feel like you're alone, but he's watching over you. He hasn't slumbered. He hasn't closed his eyes. He's not lost contact. He knows what to do. He says in Hebrews 13, verse 20, the writer of Hebrews says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, amen, through the blood of their everlasting covenant. He is the good shepherd because he watches over the sheep. Number 10, let me say he's the good shepherd because he blesses his sheep. In verse 26, the Bible says, and I will make them and the place round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the showers to come down in his season. Look what he says, there shall be showers of blessings. This is the promise of God. He's the good shepherd because he blesses us. Now, you say, boy, I don't feel blessed. We have COVID. I don't feel blessed. We have flu. I don't feel blessed. I'm losing money. I can't go to work. I don't feel blessed. Here we are again at Vanderbilt with our son. I don't feel blessed, but I want you to know we don't live by our feelings. We are blessed. And if God never does another thing for us, we've been so blessed. He's forgiven our sins. He's healed us. He's saved us. but he blesses us. He watches over us. And then lastly, let me say, he's the good shepherd because he abundantly satisfies his sheep. Look at verse 29. And I will raise up from them a plant of renown. Look what he says. And they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen anymore. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. Now, there's some smart alecks who would say this is dispensational and this is written to the house of Israel. But Dr. Lester Riloff says that he claims it all. He's found that he's got more blessings that way. And he tells us that they shall no more be consumed with hunger. He says in verse 30, thus shall they know that I, the Lord, am their God with them. He's with us. He's present. And he says, and ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture and men are men, and I am your God. He is the God that abundantly satisfies. Now, I want to finish where I started, John 10:10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Look around. You can see the devastation of what the thief has done. I am the great I am. Come that they might have life. That's eternal life. That's everlasting life in heaven. That's what we're going to inherit when we leave this shell. And they might have it more abundantly. That abundant life is now, right now. And I made a promise to God when I was 17. I've not gone back on it. And he's kept his promise to me. He has blessed. He is the good shepherd. He giveth his life for me. He careth for the sheep. He knows his sheep, and his sheep knows him. And God's people said, while things are dismal and difficult and hard, I know it's hard, remember, God is always good all the time. God is always right all the time. He can never be anything but, because he is what? The good, say it with me, the good shepherd. Amen. Stand with me. Lord, thank you for loving us and for being so good to us. And Lord, I pray that we be focused and we not let the devil have us criticize our puny potatoes. Because God, when we serve the devil, we didn't have any taters at all. You're a good God. You're a good shepherd. And although there's times that we feel numb and we don't feel much of anything, we know by faith and by the truth of God's word that you're there with us. You're present. You search us out. You seek us. You deliver us. You bring us out. You feed us. You rest us. You bind up our brokenness. You strengthen us. You judge those around us. You watch over us. You bless us. And you abundantly satisfy us. You are indeed the good shepherd. And you have given us life. And you have given it to us more abundantly. We thank you for it. As God speaks to your heart, you come tonight.